Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Coming up on the Holderness Family Podcast.
Hang on a sec. I got to see what's on my phone here.
I get it.
You got it? Okay.
Dear doctor, fix us. Tell us what to do.
Yo.
We are going to help you get over social media addiction.
Oh, I have adult ADD because I can't focus on anything.
2019 has been a butthole.
Here's my guilty pleasure.
You're chasing the dragon now.
I've never once seen an episode of Beverly Hills 90210.
I was busy working on my synthesizers and I had time for it. Yes, got a snort.
How does this contribute to mommy burnout?
And I say opposite.
I disagree.
This is not an ad for Game of Thrones. You're not holding my hand anymore. Okay, sorry, better. Okay. And I had to watch The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. And send. Okay, let's start the show.
I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Penn Holderness. We are the Holderness family. You mostly see us being silly on the Facebook.
On the Facebook and the YouTube. Yeah, and Instagram. Let's talk about all of our social media platforms, Penn.
Because today's show, which we'll talk about in a little bit, is about how maybe we're using a little too much of that.
Maybe just a little bit addicted.
Yeah. Having said that, We got a little favor to ask.
The irony is huge, yeah, and we get
it. It's thick irony. We would love it if you subscribe to this podcast. And I know a lot of folks who listen to us, they will see the links on Facebook or Instagram, and they'll download that episode. And we've seen so many comments and so much traffic. In fact, this last week's podcast was the most listened to podcast that we've ever had. But we can tell by looking at the analytics that not as many people are subscribing. They're just waiting each week for the
links to pop up.
And they're clicking on it. So if you
could, we appreciate.
Yeah, it's awesome. Do what you got to do. But personal favor to us, if you could, once you're done with this, go to where you get your podcast and hit that little subscribe button. On iTunes, it's a little purple button, and you click on it. That does wonders for us.
Well, it just helps us get in the kind of like iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher kind of algorithm, mm-hmm. and then it gets suggested to people. There have been a lot of people asking if we could do this a couple times a week, and we really can't afford to.
Exactly. It's exactly
yeah,
right.
Yeah, unless a lot of people are listening. And that's just us being really transparent. Yep. So when people are asking you to subscribe, that's why.
Yeah, and so this would be, I would consider this a personal favor.
To Penn Holderness.
And then we're going to do something for you today. We are going to help you get over social media addiction, which is actually contributing a lot to what people are calling mommy burnout.
Yeah, so we interviewed this amazing doctor of psychology, and I'm going to introduce her in a second. But I sought her out because I am going, and I'm going to shoot it, I think, this weekend, and I've been kind of putting it off. I have a problem. I've talked openly about anxiety and how I've battled depression, and I think it's exacerbated by the multitasking or this like faux multitasking thing I do with my phone. I have the phone in the palm of my hand or a computer in front of my face most of my waking hours, and I make the excuse that it's my job, but everybody could say that. And I do think it's contributing to it's really pushing me more into introversion for sure. What would it be like to take a walk outside without my phone? You know,
boring.
Well, that's to say, like, I usually listen to podcasts. But what would happen if I noticed things like the leaves on the trees? I don't know. That's just crazy. I depend so much on it, and I'm looking forward to kind of putting things in place to have some real concrete barriers around it.
I've got a problem as well. We both do. Mine is a little twitchier. Like, someone will be talking, and I'll just randomly look at my phone, kind of like a, you know, our 22-year-old niece who does that, like, in the middle of a conversation.
No, she doesn't. She's getting better.
All teenagers do.
She's not a teenager.
I'm not putting her on blast. You just notice, like, kids, they'll be in the middle of talking to each other, and it's socially acceptable. I don't think it's being rude, because she's usually, when she does it, it's while she's talking to someone else who's got a cell phone in their hand.
She doesn't do it to us. No, she doesn't do it to us. But you do that to me.
I know. That's what I just said. Did you hear the first part?
No, I didn't.
Where I said I was kind of twitchy, like in the middle of someone talking, I would pick up the phone and I'd look at it. I do also believe
we talk a lot about Penn's ADD. I was Googling on my computer on my cell, which my cell phone is probably right next to me.
You're using social media.
I was using social media to see if I should be getting like tested for this, because I really feel as an adult like, oh, I have adult ADD because I can't focus on anything. I can't, you know, I sit down to write, you know, we've kind of put out to the universe, we're trying to write this book about kind of the fights we have and how we get through them, and kind of the cool script we're coming up with about how to have these difficult conversations in your marriage. But I sit down to write and I get I think I just need to throw the phone away because I get pretty distracted. And I can't sit for very long doing it. Even watching a video that's longer than 45 seconds, I'm like, oh, that was so long. It's a lot.
I'm okay cutting, by the way, you some slack on this. I love that you're trying to work on it. I think it's going to make you happier. I think it's going to help you sleep. I also, if you've been following our podcast, 2019 has been a butthole for us. And so we need escapes. We do. You know, we need escapes.
We got some personal things happening that made 2019 can suck it.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that before, and I agree.
But I'm going to say, I do, you know, here's my guilty pleasure. I'm going to admit to you right now. Okay, so everybody knows I love Dr. Pimple Popper.
Wait, is there more?
Yes, I've gone deeper than Dr. Pimple
Popper. She's gone dark web? You haven't told me about this.
Okay, so Dr. Pimple Popper was like my entry. It was like my gateway.
We're getting into the heroin.
The weird Instagram world.
Right. Okay, you're chasing the dragon now.
You're using drug words, and I never really did them, so I'm sorry.
It was a Beverly Hills episode with Luke Perry.
Okay.
Pour a little liquor.
Okay. Also, can I admit something?
What?
I've never once seen an episode of Beverly Hills 90210.
Shut up.
I know. I've never seen an episode.
What? Well, you were in high school.
We didn't have cable.
It was on Fox.
I danced. I was at a dance studio. I don't know.
I was busy working on my synthesizers, and I had time for it. Yes, got a snort. All right. What is your heroin?
Oh, okay.
What is it?
No, like maybe people. Okay. Okay. So pimples were my thing. I have found an Instagram account where this lady tweezes ingrown hairs, and I just watch it on repeat. And then from there, it was suggested on Instagram in the algorithm that there's a doctor who pulls earwax out of people's ears. And I watch that now.
What is happening to you?
Can I show it to
right
you
now?
Right now?
Okay. I don't like Dr. Pimple Popper.
Why don't you like Dr.
While she's looking it up, no, I have like, an infected here. Earlobe. We're going to get back to all that in just a second. But first, we want to welcome a new sponsor to our podcast, KiwiCo. They are speaking our language because they create these really cool kids experiences with no screens required.
Yeah, or language.
Require or language.
Yes. Okay, so KiwiCo, they have these really cool hands-on kits that they send you. And they design their projects specifically to encourage confidence and creativity. And the goal is that through play, kids get an enriching learning experience that carries over into everything. So this month, we got this like felt succulent garden with like clay stones modeling and like Lola was all about it because we kill everything, even succulents. And then there's this...
You can't kill this. It doesn't require water.
I know. And then there's this Tinker Crate that I have my son doing right now. And it's like creating... And by the way, I offered it to my daughter too. She chose the succulent garden. And it's like this whole like engineering thing. So that's the whole part of it, is that it focuses on STEAM, which is the science, technology, engineering, art, and mathematics. They have 7 lines underneath the umbrella for kids age 0 to 16. So we are super in the wheelhouse. And the kids are having a great time with it.
And they're doing the crafting. And this, they're all in these little packets. So yeah. Instead of being all over the house and there being extra stuff everywhere, they have them in these little I'm sorry. That's yeah. important to me.
Well, and so they come every month. So it's super convenient. And it's right there. And kids just want to have fun. And they just want to be engaged. And they don't really need to be on a screen all the time, right? So change the way your kids play with KiwiCo. Visit KiwiCo.com/Holderness and get your first crate free. That's KiwiCo, KiwiCo.com/Holderness for the first crate free. KiwiCo.com/Holderness.
Okay, here we go. Okay, all right, so there's I'm gonna talk you through it. I'm a sportscaster, so hang on. That something just happened here.
Okay,
I'm good at calling highlights. Okay, so there is a piece of skin. She is gingerly brushing the loose hair away from the skin. Now she's got some tweezers. It looks like she's it's a disgusting translucent gelatinous goo. She has removed the excess material. There is a small. It kind of looks like the turd on the back of a shrimp that you pull off.
It's a hair.
It's not. It's a hair. It's stuck in there. There's blood and there's pus. All right, we have... Whoa! Oh, come on! So it's like pulling a worm.
Yes.
Out of...
I love it, and it's so satisfying.
Oh.
I'll spare you from the earwax removal.
It's called Tweezist.
I know, and she's from Korea, I think, for South Korea.
Oh, she's... And this thing has 37,000 views.
Yes. So, okay. But so we're talking. So this is my thing. I will at night to unwind. I will watch random pimples being popped or hair being pulled.
You know what? We're going to keep this away from Dr. Ziegler. We'll get to other stuff
because
it'll dominate the entire conversation.
I know. I'm not even going to bring it up. Not even going to bring it up. But I think that I have a legitimate addiction. I do need to make some changes. I realize the irony that we make our living basically off people engaging with people on social media. And that's the thing, is that I love that part. And that is a good part of social media. We went through a lot recently with our dog, and I can't tell you how heartwarming it was to get, like, I am still getting messages
from
people.
That's the good part of it.
And that is like the... And I felt the love in a way that I'm like, oh, there's somebody in Canada thinking about me. Like, there's like, that was like, and like, that has gone through something. Like, that was the beautiful part of what social media was meant for.
I'm not afraid.
And then there's ingrown hairs.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. And I'm not afraid to say this. And if it's, if this is bad or I don't care. I think that the fact that we are on social media helped us find a good home for our dog.
She didn't know who, am I using air quotes, like who we were. She didn't know
she didn't, but then she listened to a podcast.
Yeah.
And she understood our situation a little bit better. And like, even if it was just a little bit, we needed to find a safe place for her. And I guess what I'm saying is it is possible for social media to be good. And I think Dr. Ziegler understands that as well.
Okay. Should we introduce Dr. Ziegler?
We should. Yes. I was going to say more stuff, but go ahead.
Say more stuff.
Well, I forgot what it was that I was going to say.
Okay, Dr. Cheryl Ziegler is a doctor of psychology, author, speaker, local and national media contributor, board member, Girl Scout leader, Girls on the Run coach, and advocate for children.
No wonder she's burnt out.
She's the author of Mommy Burnout, How to Reclaim Your Life and Raise Healthier Children in the Process. And I'm going to put the link to this in the description. It's a great book. It's one of the top parenting books of 2018 and winner of Best Parenting Family Book as awarded by International Latino Book Awards. She's born as a first-generation Cuban American. Dr. Ziegler draws from her early childhood in New York City to her tween and teenage years being raised in a blended family in upstate New York. These unique life experiences have created an incredible perspective on parenting, mothering, raising all types of children in the modern world. Welcome, Dr. Ziegler.
Thank you for having me.
We're excited to have you because this has been a topic I have identified that I have a legitimate phone addiction, and I think we could probably diagnose it as maybe social media, but I do a lot of, there's a lot of emails and there's a lot of phones. And I think I can't be the only one, right?
You are definitely not the only one. I mean, it's so interesting. Studies show that women in particular, we can spend upwards of even 17 hours sometimes a day online. So not just social media, but online, right? Shopping, working, yeah, and doing social media. So it's incredibly time consuming.
You've gone close to 17, I believe.
I'm
but,
sure.
I mean, a lot of it is work. So I think it's important. There are people who work in social media and who work online. And I imagine it's difficult making sure that you take care of that without turning it into something that's so excessive.
I agree. But here's the other thing that's interesting. And I don't know if you relate to this, Kim, because you guys talk about ADD kind of a lot. So I think one of the things that's super interesting is last year they came out also with these stats that women are reporting and being diagnosed with ADD at these incredibly high rates, like really, really inflated. But I actually think that it's because we're online so much and there's so many distractions, we feel so overwhelmed. We feel so like, oh, wait a second. Oh, wait, I was just doing that. Oh, wait, I forgot to order this.
Yeah. I mean, I have a list of things that I needed to do basically online today. And it took me 2 or 3 hours to get through it because I was so distracted by like the dings and the alerts and all of that stuff. So in your book, Mommy Burnout, which I'm holding in my hands, you have a chapter dedicated to this topic. You have kind of a checklist, and that if you identify with at least 3 of these items on this list,
you might be a redneck.
No, consider
sorry,
changing.
It's the same basic formula, though.
No, oh my, oh wow.
No, it's a great Jeff Foxworthy.
I know.
Sorry,
I know.
Go ahead.
If you can identify with at least 3 of the items on this list, consider changing the way you view or use social media. So we're going to go through this list. Penn and I are going to be very honest.
Okay.
Okay. And the people listening at home can nod ahead. Okay, here we go. Number 1, you mindlessly scroll through posts and lose track of time. You don't even process what you're looking for.
I don't do that as much. I don't do that as much.
I disagree.
Okay.
But me, totally. I'm raising
my hand.
I'm not
a big scroller through posts. Like, I'm sure I'll be on this list. Don't worry about it. Keep going.
Okay. You choose connecting over social media over meeting friends in person. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry.
I am definitely more of an introvert in tendency, but I really feel by the end of the day I've connected with enough people just through.
Right. And I'm a huge extrovert, but by necessity, it's easier to manage that way.
Okay. You incessantly check your phone after you post something for likes and comments.
Well, it's our job.
Yeah. So that's where it gets tricky. It is a little bit of our job. But I can see how in real world,
even when it's not our job, like I have an Instagram page where it's nothing but me taking pictures of myself with double chins and it has no monetary value. I should tell everyone about this because, I mean, everyone who takes
chin, okay,
double chin Pinstagram, everyone who takes pictures on Instagram, like does this duck face, like with the camera, like way up above their head. So they have like a perfect chin. And I say opposite. Of that. And no, when I do post it, it's, again, not a monetary thing. I'm, like, obsessed with how many people are liking my double chin post. So check.
Okay. You feel lonelier, more depressed, or angry after scrolling through your feed?
I don't know. That's
deep, I don't know.
Cheryl.
Yeah,
that's deep.
Okay. Your kids tell you that you're on your phone too much.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have your phone on the table next to you when you meet someone for lunch or coffee.
Yep, 100%.
You check your social media before your feet hit the floor in the morning.
I feel like I'm saying yes, but you're also saying yes to all
100%.
Of these.
Okay,
yep, check.
At any given time, you were looking for that postable moment.
I try not to do that.
And so you and I are actually bad at that. And we've been told like, to grow Instagram, like check, you know, live your life as if everything's an Instagram shoot. And we are the opposite of that.
Yeah.
So I think we're okay on that.
Okay.
You spend more time than you'd like admitting crafting captions for your photos.
I don't even know how to do that.
I don't do that either.
Yeah.
You scroll through other people's profiles to find out where they are or if they've been tagged by someone else because you are sure they've been excluded.
No.
I read my friends this list and they've all done that. I haven't done that, but all my friends have done that. You fall asleep scrolling through your phone.
I fall asleep listening to either 30 Rock or Game of Thrones.
Yes. So we fall asleep, but we fall
not
asleep
scrolling.
With devices.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have admitted to most of those things.
Yeah.
I do believe we have a phone, internet, device, social media problem. So now, dear doctor, fix us. Tell us what to do.
Go.
So, you know, one of the things you want to look at is thinking about, like, especially for you guys, I mean, you're a little bit of the exception because this is part of your jobs, but there's healthy uses of social media, right? So in the book, I kind of do, you know, that list, and then a lot of people relate. I don't know anybody who's like, nope, not me. I mean, I think most people can relate. And then there's sort of like another box. It's like, are you, if you're misusing it, let's talk about healthy uses for social media and then unhealthy uses, right? So that's what you guys can think about. A healthy use would be you want to socialize with people. You want to stay in touch with people. You want to get people's opinions or answers, experiences from trusted sources. So a lot of people today, instead of asking people like, hey, you know, what dentist do you use? Or, you know, who's your pediatrician? They actually go online or they just post it and see what people say. If you want to unwind because you want to watch something funny, but like you want to unwind for a little bit, not all night long, right? So there's a time limit around it. You want to stay in touch like with the news, and a lot of people like belonging to communities, like in Penn's case, you know, people who think double chins are the funniest thing in the world, right? So they could have their own little online community. Those are great uses for social media. But then for you guys, it's looking at like your unhealthy uses. Like, are you procrastinating, right? Are you not wanting to? So that's like, so I would say like that's the first one, like procrastinating. And then maybe just feeling like, you know, you don't know what else to do with your time, or you don't have actual people to spend time with. So you're kind of living through someone else's life. And that's a lot of what I see going on with people today. They're just sort of fantasizing through other people's posts and lives and feeling kind of crappy about their own.
And what is that in a marriage? What is the danger of that? What is the danger of just being so involved with these, this staring at the palm of your hand for so long?
Yeah, I mean, within a marriage, it's pretty huge, actually, because what I commonly hear is, you know, like, I thought we were doing okay, but then I realized, like, you know, the Smiths just got a new car, and oh, look at their big fancy house, and oh, they went to Maui for spring break. Like, you know, there's this thing where all of a sudden you start judging your spouse, how much money he makes, and like your life. And that's the whole, like, you feel lonely or even angry looking through sometimes other people's posts.
What you were pointing at me during that?
Well, just because there are some friends who, and they go to really fancy vacations, and Kim seems to always know where they're going and seems to find a way to bring that up every once in a while.
But who are we talking about?
I'm not going to say their names.
No, but I don't usually get, no, that being jealous of that isn't my problem. I think our issue is we fall asleep with like a device. Instead of, you know, mommy daddy time. And so I think there's like this weird wall that you put up. And I think that I'm definitely going to be challenging myself. I would like to, and I'm maybe make a video on it, to go a couple days without a cell phone. You know, not saying without internet or anything like that, but just like without a cell phone, and see how, you know, not forever, just a couple days, kind of break the habit and then come back with some restrictions, because it was my New Year's resolution to kind of connect more. And I did well for a while. And then I totally just fell back into this, you know, this cycle of staring at the palm of my hand, and it's not good.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely that whole piece. I, you know, in Mommy Burnout, I have a whole chapter on like marital stuff, and that is a big part of it. Like parents, and not just parents, couples today are going to sleep with, you know, two iPads or two phones in their hands, watching two different shows. You know, maybe you're watching Game of Thrones and, you know, whatever, Kim, you're watching House Hunters, whatever. And so you're not even like, we're not even any longer watching the same shows together. You know, we're not even having the same experiences together. And so that's definitely a way that like social media / technology shows up in marriages, is it's so easy too. And then you even put on your headphones, like you're really in your whole other world, laying next to each other in a bed. Or a lot of couples will say one person stays, you know, downstairs on the couch and the other person goes to bed, and you both just sort of fall asleep and stumble in bed at some point. And so that's taking away from our intimacy and taking away from our sexual lives. It's taking away from really connecting, but it's a slippery slope. At first it starts off with like, oh, I just found the show and it's so great. I love it. And then before you know it, you know, time goes on and you sort of distance each other.
I had to make a commitment to watch Game of Thrones because we have this really weird unspoken rule that we watch because I've heard that happen. Like I go to this one room to watch my show and I go this way to watch this show. We've made this weird silent commitment to watch the same show, and Game of Thrones was so scary violent for me. But
well, you walked in at the wrong time. You walked in at one of the bad times and a very bad time I had no defense
of. But I had to like gear up to watch it so that we could have this conversation together.
For those of you who haven't seen Game of Thrones, if you are a woman and you're concerned because there are some very raw moments, let me just say
the women in that show kick butt.
It is the most butt-kicking ensemble of women ever. It's starting up in a couple of weeks. This is not an ad for Game of Thrones.
But I was a year behind. I was like, okay, this is the work I'm willing to do for our marriage. I will be uncomfortable. I like stupid comedies. And I had to get it, like, there's a lot of beheadings and things like that I had to get through because I felt like we're not even watching the same thing at night. And
I had to watch The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
I know, which is amazing.
Amazing. Our producer, congratulations. Yeah, and all the women are like, come on, Max.
Hello.
You just winced.
I winced hard on the Maisel one.
I love that show.
That is a popular show with women.
I'm fortunate enough that my wife agrees with me, so we only went through three episodes.
Actually, this is not a TV. Yeah, it's turned into one.
So what do you recommend? Is there like a number of days a week they should try to, like, you know what I mean, like to put away those iPads or just put the iPads and cell phones, charge them downstairs? What do you recommend?
Yeah. Well, that's so funny. So the whole like charging your phone downstairs, I mean, even for our health, we're looking at brain studies that talk about we're not sure what all of this electronics and technology is doing, but there's some really interesting studies even just on plants, how like plants thrive in settings where there are less electronics.
Wait.
Where
was this study? Was it that weird Edinburgh place that does like studies on where does plants thrive when there's no cell phones?
Yes, I wish I could cite it for you right now. I'll email you guys later.
It's my kid's next science project. Anyway, remind me, guys, next January. Okay, go ahead.
That's true. It is what I'm thinking of. They had like a plant in one room with electronics and a plant in another. And after 30 days, you know, the plant with electronics was like wilting, they say.
I wonder if it's because no one's looking at the plant. And then you go to a room where there's no electronics and you have nothing to look at. And bored to death and you're like, I guess I'll water the plant now.
Oh, my God. He's going to take any scientific study and try to make a comedy. Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
So there are benefits of just getting the devices out of the bedroom.
Yes. And I will say for parents listening who might have, you know, tweens or teens, it becomes an issue because at night they'll say like, oh, I need it because, you know, it's my alarm, and they have all these excuses. And so I am a big fan of it being like a family kind of thing. Like there's a charging station and everybody kind of rests your phone. And Kim, like you're saying, if you do that, like sort of social media diet at night as an experiment for yourself, you are going to say, I know you're going to say, I got more sleep. You're going to say you got literally quantity of hours increased. You're also going to say the quality of your time improved. Like it's all going to be good, but we're all in a place where we're kind of addicted. So it's hard to keep up with it. It's like a real diet. You know, it's just hard to keep up with. But some of the tips are, I'd say mostly every great leader and pretty Zen person says, we really shouldn't start our days looking at our emails and looking at our social media, so that, you know, if it's not there in your room, you can start your day in a different way. You can start, you know, with a minute of gratitude, some meditation, just getting up and go, you know, getting going. The mornings even go faster. Like if you try to get your kids out the door, I mean, imagine how much more efficient your mornings would be if you weren't like half feeding your kids and making lunches and half looking at your phone.
Yeah. Yeah. No, totally.
So, Doc, I'm going to call you Doc. No, I probably shouldn't do that. So, Dr. Ziegler, as a doctor and a licensed child psychotherapist, I would love it. And Kim doesn't know we're going to do this, but I hope she says, okay, I want to hold your hand because I love you. And I want to kind of go back and forth on some of the crazy things that go on in our house surrounded by electronics and get like a professional diagnosis on this whole thing.
Why are you holding my hand?
Because,
this is
gonna
be bad.
I'm going to say some things and you can say some things.
Oh, I'm going to say some things.
I'm saying you can say some things, but it's easier if you hold my hand while you're doing it.
Okay.
Are you up for this?
I'm totally up for this.
Okay. Do you want to go first, honey?
No, I don't know what you
I've got plenty of things I can say about myself. But
okay, you go ahead.
Okay. Well, let's start with this. So Kim will be on her phone and looking at her phone and she'll start a sentence and it'll go like this. You know, I think it's really important that we... or, hey, honey, you got to remember to pick up the...
It's not that bad.
It probably happens three times a day.
I get very distracted.
Yeah. It's an interesting type of behavior that I understand. And I definitely, look, I am senior ADD, but I was wondering if you've ever encountered anything like that on the professional side.
Yes. And so one of the things that I'll say, the category I would put that in professionally, is our ideals of multitasking. And I think we've come full circle with like the idea that multitasking is actually not a good thing. And that monotasking or unitasking, whatever you want to call it, is really the way our brains were designed to function. Mm-hmm. And we're actually more efficient if we can do that.
Mm-hmm. Unitasking. I like that.
I've
never heard of that before.
No, but Penn, you are always on your phone. And you don't think you are, which is the funny thing. You were on your phone a lot. If we're all sitting there watching TV, you're actually scrolling through scores on ESPN.
Sure.
So you're not on Instagram or Facebook like I am.
You're not holding my hand anymore. Okay, sorry. Okay.
No, you're like checking scores and on ESPN.
I was gonna throw myself under the bus and say that at night I like to have my computer open and my phone.
Yes.
I like to have two electronic devices.
Yeah.
Yeah, and most people will add in a third of the TV. I mean, it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. We're not a country that does one thing at a time very much anymore. And as a result, I mean, we're seeing more distracted driving. We're seeing a lot of really negative consequences.
How does this contribute to mommy burnout, which is the title of your book? And I know there's a lot of layers to it, but how does this in particular contribute to it?
Well, it's pretty big on like social connection. So whether that's within your marriage or it's within your friends, that question of like, would you prefer to connect on social media rather than in person is almost the crux of this. Like, we're losing intimacy in friendships and relationships because we're relying on it. Like in my mind, right, I know what my kids, you know, friends in New York, like what they do and what sports they play, but I don't even really know them as kids, but I think I do. So it's this false sense of connection, and it's really catching up to us because we have a depression and anxiety epidemic in our country. And part of that, social media and just technology really do play a role because we need to have face-to-face connection, eye contact, and touch with people, and we're losing that.
All right, I got another one for you. Our 9-year-old, who is a bundle of energy, he's smart as a whip, he's fantastic, huge sports fan, loves to be outside, loves to shoot hoops. We caught him a couple of weeks ago at like 5 o'clock in the morning in front of an Xbox. It was stunning.
Yeah.
Yep. So for him, that's not unusual. A lot of parents also catch their kids like watching Netflix under the covers at 2 a.m. That's another really common thing. So it's almost like where Kim started. Like, I think the admission that there is an addictive component, but it's like this socially normalized addiction component. Cause like I'm addicted and you're addicted and their kids are addicted. So everybody is, you know? And so it's like having Halloween every day, like 365 days a year. You're like, sure, eat as much candy as you want. You know, there's that feeling of like, oh, this is so out of our control. How would we ever rein this back? And so for your kid, I would ask him, you know, like what made you feel like you had to do that? And, you know, I'd want to know, does he wake up like dying to play Xbox? Is that, you know, part of his thing?
Yeah, I think because we are those evil parents that limit screen time. And so he wakes up really early. So how I've combated that, well, I took the Xbox controllers and I have them. So if he wants to play, he has to come find them for me. But then I bought I bought him an alarm clock. And so he can't come out of his room until 7. So if he wakes up at 5 in the morning, he has a shelf full of books. He can read books. He can color. He can write. He loves to write his books. And using air quotes, he loves to write. So he can stay. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, we haven't put any tape on the door or anything yet, but so far he has complied.
But I'm up very early in the morning. And so I know I can hear him get up. He gets up around like 6:15. And then he just like putters around like a little old man until he leaves his room at 7. But isn't there like a did you have something else to say?
Yeah, well, I just have other examples.
Okay, go. I'm sorry. Go
ahead. No, it's fine. I don't want to interrupt you. Here, hold my hand again. Okay.
So, I don't interrupt you, but I'm going to go ahead and do my thing.
This is both of us. Like, I've woken up in the middle of the night because I've had to pee because I'm an old man and I probably have an enlarged prostate. And I
she is not that kind of doctor, and, Ben.
So what's wrong? No, I'm kidding. No. What happens when your bladder...
Stop it.
Okay. But I look over to the left of me where my dear wife is sleeping, and there's a glow, and she's been up for, you know, an hour, and she's looking at her phone.
Yeah.
And I go to the bed, and I go to the bathroom. I lie back down, and I can't get to sleep, so I look at my phone. It seems to be... Like, I feel like it's helping me with the insomnia because it gets my brain going and it shuts me down. I have a feeling you're about to tell me that it's enhancing my insomnia. So go ahead with that.
Go ahead and tell me what I already know. So, you know, it really is one of sleep quality is what I get back to. And so we're all dependent on, well, if I get up, then there's this mental piece of like, I can just go online and I can just, you know, mindlessly do something and maybe I'll just fall back asleep. But I think the truth is if it were dark in our room and it was quiet, we are much more likely to go to sleep quicker. You're activating yourself, right? Even if you're passively scrolling things between the light and the content, you're actually energizing and activating your brain. You're not shutting it down. So I am going to tell you what you already know. And it's a real problem because we're pretty also sleep deprived country. So we need to focus on, you know, healthier and better quality sleep.
Social media isn't going anywhere. Our phones are capable of so much. They are not going anywhere. Like, what do you see as like the future of how people are going to deal with this? Like, I would be really uplifted if you said, oh, as a country, we're going to make huge strides in how we moderate our use online. But I don't feel like that's what you're going to say.
We could start like a hippie colony where there's no electronics and we have to compost everything. But I don't think we could camp outside.
But I wouldn't know how to compost, so I'd have to look it up on the internet. Okay, go ahead.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. You know, I think you're at 100% right. Technology is not going anywhere. And the amount of time that kids are, you know, spending even at school on computers isn't going anywhere. I certainly think, though, like in a serious way, that there are pockets of educational systems and schools that are kind of going backwards and being like, wait, we're going to actually cut off some technology because these kids are already on their devices about 7 hours a day. That's the average.
What?
You know, so like we already need to cut back, right? So I think, though, I do think like everything, even fashion, everything like starts and goes so another way and it all comes back somewhere. I think we will come back. Even actual books are making comebacks because people realize that they don't get as much out of reading off a Kindle than they do, you know, holding a book. I do think some things will come back, but things that can be helpful really are just starting, like creating boundaries for yourself, for your marriage, for your kids, and really being disciplined about them. I mean, we have to accept technology's there, but we need boundaries around it. And just knowing how to, like, there's kid stuff and adult stuff, but like for adults, really knowing that, like, socially and romantically, however, having your phone even physically sitting on the table sends a message that there's something that's potentially more important that's going to happen, that's going to cut this off, like what we're experiencing. So just little things like put your phone in your purse, you know, keep your phone off the table. Those kinds of things, like what this comes back to really is how to create greater relationships.
Back to the concept about books being more popular now. I love the fabric or whatever the paper is that your book is made out of.
I think it's pretty standard.
Right,
he reads off a Kindle. He hasn't felt a book in a while.
It feels so nice.
It's a normal book.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful book. But it is not fabric.
No,
it is paper.
It's nice. I also want to say thanks. What is this material?
Isn't it amazing?
The words are folding if I want them to. This is crazy.
It is paper, pen.
Okay. Wow. We need to throw ourselves under the bus. While you're answering that question, and by the way, it's important, and we need to work on it, on the intimacy side and make sure like our phones aren't around. But also, while you were talking, we looked up how many downloads we have from last week's podcast. And I saw Kim look at it, and instead of being like, you shouldn't be doing this, I did like a fist pump because it's like doing really well. So we're like continuing to do this while you're still talking.
Right. No.
While we're talking about it.
No, but first of all, I'm writing a list of things to ask you while I was doing that. So I'm being a good interviewer. But yeah.
You also looked up the downloads. No, I encouraged it. I encouraged it. What is wrong with us?
Oh my God.
Well, again, you guys are a little bit of the exception in terms of
not really.
Is what you do, right?
No, not really.
Kim, for you, what I sense is like, not just you representing moms, is the need. Like if I said to you, hey, why don't you try for the next week not multitasking? You're just going to monotask. You know, like, how do you think you'd react to that?
I think I would. I don't know how I would even what that looks like. I'll be honest. I think that first of all, I would have to ditch my phone because the ding, and I have made changes. Like I've set up screen time barriers and on iPhones, and I think they have them on Android as well. Like you can set a usage alert, and it gives you a weekly report and all that stuff. I've set that stuff. And I've stopped the push notification. So if I want to check email, I actually have to go and check the email. But I don't know what that even looks like to not multitask because
I don't either.
I make breakfast at the same time I make lunch, and I know my kids are old enough to do it themselves and they should do it themselves. But I enjoy doing it, so there's like this trap I fall into. But I don't even know what it looks like. And I think I would need to – Penn makes fun of me for my lists. Have to make a list. And
I don't
then
make
just
fun of you for that because I make a list every week and you've seen me make it and you think it's weird that I would do it because I'm such a space cadet. But it's the only way I get stuff done. I have to clear the deck on like one thing before I move on to the next thing.
Yeah. I don't even know how – and that's an amazing challenge because I don't know how to actually do that. So
– Yeah, we should come up with this, like, monotasking challenge.
Monotasking, doing one thing at a time.
One thing at a time. But I would say, here's what I would say. Like, I do the same. Of course, I make breakfast and lunches at the same time. But in my mind, yes, I'm juggling, but I don't feel like I'm trying to help my kid with homework, trying to make lunches, breakfast, and tie shoelaces. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's what moms do.
Yeah.
A lot, you know, so to me, cooking is all could be like one category, but it would be, you know, just what Penn was saying, like our kids are talking to us or our spouse is talking to us and we're looking at our phone and we're like, like, you know, I've definitely been, my husband will say, wait, did you just hear what I even said? And I like look up, you know, and I'm like, huh?
I identify with what you said about women being diagnosed with ADD because I'm like, maybe I have ADD because I think my attention span has just shriveled. And I'm like, maybe there's a diagnosis here. But I think I could probably diagnose myself that I have become so used to these quick hits of videos, memes, emails. It's like these little quick little dopamine hits of just like, this like weird energy you get from getting a good email or a fun that I become addicted to it. And it's like these quick little hits.
You mentioned the dopamine thing. It's a great point. And I think there probably are studies about what that does, what the ding or the like or the comment, like what that does to your brain, right?
Yes. That's legit. Yes, that's a legit stuff. And it is dopamine. You know, dopamine and oxytocin are kind of our love hormones. They're excitatory. And so they do provide that for us, which is, you know, sad because it's gone awry. Where like the flip side, not to bring it down, is if you don't get those dings and you're not getting those positive emails or likes or comments, then obviously the opposite happens. Right. And then you're like feeling like, oh, like nobody even cared about my vacation or my kid's piano recital or whatever it is. And so it can be both.
And I can't tell you how many fights have been started over social media.
That's a whole different podcast.
That's a whole different podcast. But it's like, this isn't even real. You guys are fighting about something that's not even real. Okay. Anything else you think?
I was going to say one thing.
This is Max, by the way. I mean, hi, 32 minutes in. Hi, Max.
Hello again. Kim and Penn may be the exception, but using the phrase, quote unquote, using social media is for my work, could become exaggerated because proper social media practices suggest that everyone should build their brand. And therefore allowing everyone to say social media is for my work or for my lifestyle. So I think everyone can relate with this overuse of social media and can identify that they think they're obliged to keep up with social media. Right? Like every person now is like, you are a star. You have to tell the world who you are. But I think you have to be outside of that thought and think, well, I'm also just a person living in this household or in this family or in the city.
Yeah, because everybody, you're right. Everybody's building a brand and everybody's.
It's probably the people that create Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter saying, build your brand because that means use my product more often.
Right. Right.
That's very meta, Max. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Max. I
charge by the hour.
Max brought it. I think that, Max, you make a good point, though. I've been noticing for me in the last 6 months, this whole notion that people are a brand, that anybody is a brand. And it has been percolating in my head, like, what is this going to do now to people's social media use? Like, it's been a quiet, again, observation. I'm sort of this observationist. Like, now if everybody's walking around with this empowerment of not just like, I can blog, right? So I think the last phase was like, everybody could be a blogger, right? And everybody could care about whatever you care about, anything. And you'd get this whole following. And now, like, this, I feel like it went from blogger to brand. And now everybody's a brand. And so to me, that's again gone awry. Like, What about the people who are like, I'm not a brand. I'm not thinking of myself as a brand. I just want to go on, look at some posts, laugh a little, you know? And so I think, again, that's it concerns me, this messaging around branding.
Yeah. And I do think it kind of gives me like, I kind of like throw up a little in my mouth when people are like, oh, you're family brand. And because I'm like, no, we're a family and like we're a hot, hot mess. And I would say 99% of our lives is not online, but we do share a lot. And it has become this weird thing where it's our job and it's super duper weird. I'm not going to let myself off the hook though. Like I can't, I think part of my anxiety kind of like that I'm always feels like I'm on edge. I think it's back to these like constant, like the fact that I can't focus on anything, that I'm being pulled to stare at the palm of my hand.
I want to add to Kim's the ADD piece because my last physical, so that was like a year and a half ago, it was a new doctor to me. So I was like, oh, so I'm sitting there and I'm like, so I want to kind of talk to you about something. And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, you know, I find myself like really distracted a lot and I have a hard time focusing particularly on writing and I have to, you know, close things out. And I kind of think I might have ADD. So she looked at me and she was like, how many kids do you have? And I'm like, three. And she's like, and you're a working mom? I'm like, yeah. She's like, I think that's just called motherhood in the middle of me writing this book. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I mean, and so I just feel like I feel like I know what it must be like to truly have a brain that the executive functioning is not always online. Uh-huh. But I will say I really try to walk my walk, you know, like walk my talk.
Yeah.
And doing just a couple of things, just a couple. Makes such a big difference that you go, oh, okay. I like laugh. Like since like this whole year, 2019, I've been kind of regimented about things. And I'm like, I totally don't have ADD. I just was allowing myself to feel so stretched and so all over the place. And honestly, I'm not a perfect monotasker and I multitask a lot with the kids. But when it comes to my work, I feel like I'm walking on a cloud when I sit down and if I say I'm writing an article and I just write the article, I don't check email. I put my phone in the kitchen. If I'm working from home, like I literally have to do those things and I feel amazing. I look at the clock and I'm like, it's been 45 minutes and I'm done.
Yeah.
You know, 2 or 3 hours and oh, now I'm done.
Yeah. It's amazing how fast you can get through stuff too.
So here's one more question. This book is called Mommy Burnout. It's how to reclaim your life and raise healthier children in the process. Is there anything in the book about what us daddies can do to help with this process?
Well, I'm so glad you asked, because I will say over the last year, the dads have come out pretty like loud and proud, like, why aren't you writing about dads? And why aren't you writing about, you know, our stress and those kinds of things? So I have only in the marital chapter do I really cover dads very much. I think dads have their own unique experiences right now that kind of deserve their own.
They are their own book.
We're our own book. I guess what I'm wondering, it's not like I don't need you to talk about daddy burnout. I guess what I want to know is there any, like, what are some things we can do to help with mommy burnout as dads?
Yes. Great question. So here's one of the things that I would say, and I don't know if this resonates with you guys, but in the part where I talk about marriage, one of the things that women need to really prevent burnout, and burnout is just, I don't think I've defined it. It's the chronic physical and emotional exhaustion that results from doing your quote job, in this case, motherhood, that leads to pessimism and a feeling that you're not doing a great job. Okay. So it's chronic stress gone awry. And so one of the things that spouses can do to support their wives is really listen way more than you are even comfortable listening. And so women like are processors. And so we like to talk about things for a while. And a lot of men have their own stress and they have about like a 5 to 7 minute window in which they want to listen.
That's a bit much.
That's excessive.
I gotta stretch it to 5 to 7 minutes. I'm totally okay with that. Okay. I hear you. Okay. Keep going.
Keep going.
Yes. So, no, I'm saying that's the current limit, but it needs to stretch farther. Right.
Oh, Penn's eyes just went, what? Longer than what? Okay, because he's my ADD guy.
Sorry. Yeah. We've established that.
Okay, sorry. Continue.
So here would be two tips. Yes, you want to stretch it a little longer. Now, Kim, I mean, you probably wouldn't know. I mean, not everything's the same, but let's just say you had this whole thing happen in the morning, right? And you weren't with Penn, and then you come home in the afternoon and you're like, oh my gosh, you're never going to believe this, right? It could be anything. It could be like a mom at drop off. It could be some story with, you know, a friend, whatever it is. You know, you're like you said, Penn, your limit of 5 to 7 minutes feels like a really long time. But women are processors and we like to talk and talk and talk and then talk about it from different angles. And the thing that happens is you want to solve the problem. So you're like, well, just don't take that route the next time or just don't say
but
hi
what
to
I
her
should say is, man, that really sucks.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, I've learned that one. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm giggling over here because can we talk about this?
This has nothing to do with.
It has everything to do with.
Well, okay. I have just had a really rough, I'll call it a rough 2019.
She has.
I'll call it a rough 2019.
Okay. If you're listening to the podcast, you know why. We've had all kinds of
it's
bonkers
fine.
Things
we just had a lot of bonkers
lives.
Things with people in our family or dog, the whole thing. So I am, and this week has just been a hard week. Like I've just been near tears about certain different things, just in the way that everybody has a rough week.
And we got in the car, it was first moments, not at work. And I was like, okay, well, maybe we'll talk about Dr. Ziegler and what kind of questions we're going to ask because we're on our way over there. And Kim spends.
Which we did, by the way.
We did. We did that. But Kim spent exactly between 5 to 7 minutes talking about this very traumatic experience she had where she could not get on the elliptical at the gym because someone else was on it.
No, I got there first and somebody cut in front of me and I was like, I got here 20 minutes ago and I go to Orange Theory and so there's only like one elliptical for food and I got there like 20 minutes early so it could be first in line so I could get it because my knee's hurting and I can't get on the treadmill and somebody jumped in line and they just got here and I said four times during the discussion, I realized I sound like a crazy person.
It's crazy.
I sound like a crazy person, but I've had a tough week. I just wanted to get on that bleeping elliptical, and this person just shows up.
Yeah. And you'd be proud of me. You should be proud of me because I wanted to scream out, why didn't you just get on another machine or go
there
to a different gym?
Machines.
I know.
Yeah.
But what I said was, boy, that's really too bad, honey.
Good, honey.
So, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off because you would have talked from 5 to 7 minutes about this.
That's our podcast next week about how I got cut off in the gym. We're solving important life problems here,
but
people.
But let him. You're saying let him talk
don't
about
solve
it.
You don't need to solve it.
And then have empathy.
Yes.
Okay.
Right?
Yes. And so let me say a couple of things about that. I can tell, truly, that the two of you work on your marriage pretty actively. Like, yes. It's, you know,
yes.
So, Pen, you're really an evolved spouse, honestly. And so,
yeah, thanks.
Yeah, he's so excited.
But, you know, I would honestly say the majority of men and spouses don't already have these tools, but you would be, honestly, I'm being serious, a great spokesperson for it. You probably had to put effort into this. This doesn't come naturally to you.
He's laughing right now. It doesn't. Yeah, you're right, though. It doesn't come naturally for him.
No, I have to work on it. I absolutely do. I just have never felt this good about myself.
Feel awesome about yourself.
Thank you.
But so imagine, though. So for Kim, imagine for you this morning, this whole elliptical thing happens, and he has the typical response. First of all, he cuts you off, like, you know, after 5 minutes.
What, you have your period this morning?
Oh, my gosh. Something like that, yeah. Stabbed in the eye with a fork. Anyway, go ahead. So if he had had a typical dude response, which is like, just go to a different gym or go run outside or something. Yeah.
Yes. And then what would that have done to your mood?
Oh.
She would have gotten out of the car. She's asked to get out of the car before when I've gone.
Well, see, I'm also evolving.
I've already made all of these mistakes. Yeah. Like, I know what you would do.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. So, like, I think, you know, I will say for the two of you, because you have clearly been working on your marriage and you're sort of a public couple, I think, and you do this, you humble yourselves a lot and you share, but I think it's really important for people to listen, like, who, especially, let's say, a woman who's listening, who's like, oh yeah, my spouse, like, he would never do that. Like, he blah, blah, blah. For them to know there really is hope. It's not necessarily easy, but if you put effort into it, I feel like my whole book is about really practical things that any one of us can do today. It just takes effort and discipline.
Yeah, and not that much, effort. When it comes down to it, how hard is it for me to charge my phone downstairs? And how hard is it for him to say, gosh, honey, that sucks. I'm sorry that happened. Like, that doesn't, that's like a reframing. It's like a retraining when it comes down to it. Do we do it all the time? No. But it's definitely, these are very doable, life-changing things.
Yeah, and that's the truth. It's easy. It's easy in terms of, like, it's like someone listening to this is like super easy, but it's not easy to change our habits. So the first thing you have to do is change your habits and your patterns. But then the outcome is really great, like really significant.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Doc. I've now started calling you Doc.
That was my fault. we're going to use some of these tips and we're going to put them out there on social media.
On social media.
Sorry about that, but we're going to try some of these tips and we'd love to send them to you and see what you think, because this is it's a very apropos book to have out there right now. And I think not just for the women, also for the men to read up and listen to, or at least get like the cliff notes from your wife and listen for 5 to 7 minutes about what they've read. I think it's I think it's super valuable.
Yeah, I think I appreciate you saying that. But I would love to see what you guys do with it. And hopefully the message being that there, of course, social media is here. It's only growing. Technology's here to stay. So what can we do now? Again, not just for us, but also for our marriages and for our kids, because we're just modeling for them, right? How do you manage stress?
So scary.
Do you zone out on your phone, or do you talk to somebody or take a bath or a walk or go work out? You know, those kind of things.
Thank you so much for taking your time and sharing your book with us. And how can people find you and find your book? I mean, we'll put a link to your book in the description of this podcast, but where should they find you online? On social media.
On social media. They can find me at drcherylziegler.com. And the book has its own website, of course, mommyburnout.com, or just anywhere books are sold. It's out there. And I just am really happy to be starting kind of really a movement of very practical things that we can do to change our mental health epidemic right now.
Thank you so, so much.
Thank you, guys.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times.
underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.